Ever wonder, like, how solid that line really is between what you own personally and what your company's on the hook for?
Yeah, it's a question a lot of, especially when you're first starting out, you know, you're thinking about those things.
Definitely. And that's exactly what we're digging into today. This case, Curdo Hill Corp v. Holt, it's a maritime law case, but it gets at something really fundamental.
It does.
When can the courts kind of ignore that corporate shield, that protection, and hold, you know, the actual people behind a business responsible for the company's debts?
Right, right. Like, when does that corporate veil, as they call it, when does that get lifted?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And it's important because, like, we want to encourage business, right? We want people to take risks, start companies.
Right.
But you can't let that structure be abused to, like, hide bad actions, you know, or to just basically treat the company as your personal piggy bank.
Right, right. So to really unpack this, we've got a bunch of sources today. There's a detailed case brief, the standard legal brief, and then, you know, our own notes and thoughts.
Perfect.
So I guess the big question we're going to try and answer is, under what circumstances, specifically in maritime law, I guess, can a court just toss aside that corporate protection and say, nope, you, the person, you're responsible?
Yeah. And for you, as someone who's, you know, probably thinking about a career in law, understanding these, like, really fine points, it's absolutely crucial.
Okay. So let's get into the nitty gritty here. What even started this whole Curdo Hill thing? What happened initially?
Okay. So picture this. 1975, Thomas Holt, he wants to charter a ship. This one's called the MS Celine. So he goes to a broker, Waterside, New York, to, you know, hammer out the details with Curdo Hill Corporation, the folks who own the Celine.
Okay.
But here's where it gets interesting. The contract isn't directly between Holt and Curdo Hill. Waterside, New York, they're acting as an agent, but not for Holt directly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they're representing another company called Waterside, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And get this, Holt had just incorporated Waterside, Pennsylvania, like, days before this whole charter deal went down.
Whoa, that timing seems a little suspicious, doesn't it?
It definitely raises some questions.
So Curdo Hill is basically making a deal with this brand new company. It doesn't even sound like they knew Holt was directly involved at first.
Right, exactly. Initially, Curdo Hill, they probably thought they were just dealing with Waterside, Pennsylvania, and the way things were set up kind of reinforced that.
How so?
Well, all the payments for chartering the Celine and even the money made from the cargo it was carrying, it all went through Waterside, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
They even got their own loans and stuff related to this whole chartering business. But then things go south. The charter payments, they just stop.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So Curdo Hill, they're not getting paid. So they sue. And they don't just go after Waterside, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Nope. They go after Holt personally and his other companies too, Holt Hauling and Holt Marine.
Wow. So they're really casting a wide net here. I guess trying to find someone, anyone, who can actually pay up. So what happened with that first lawsuit in the district court?
Well, the district court actually sided with Curdo Hill. They said, yep, Thomas Holt, you're personally on the hook for those missed payments.
Interesting.
Their reasoning was that Holt was basically this hidden mastermind, this undisclosed principal, pulling the strings behind Waterside, Pennsylvania.
I see. But we know that wasn't the end of it, right? The Second Circuit Court of Appeals, they overturned that decision.
They did.
So what were the big legal arguments and, like, how did they justify reversing that first ruling?
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting, right? Like, we've got this district court saying, Holt, you're liable, basically saying we're piercing that corporate veil. But then the Second Circuit comes in and says, hold on, not so fast.
Right.
And to understand why, we need to dig into the two main legal issues they focused on.
Okay.
The first one was Holt really acting as an undisclosed principal, like the district court said?
Right.
And second, were his other companies, Holt Hauling and Holt Marine, also responsible for these debts?
Gotcha. So let's start with that undisclosed principal thing.
Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean in the context of maritime law?
So in maritime law, which is what applies here because we're dealing with a ship charter, we've got these established rules about agency.
Okay.
And one of those rules is that if you've got an undisclosed principal, someone who's really behind the scenes calling the shots but not out in the open, they can still be held responsible for what their agent does, as long as the agent was actually acting on their behalf, you know, within their authority.
Right. Makes sense.
So the district court's thinking was that Waterside, New York, the broker, was really acting on behalf of Holt himself, making him the undisclosed principal.
But then the Second Circuit, they disagreed with that, right? What evidence made them see it differently?
Well, when the Second Circuit looked at all the evidence, they concluded that the real undisclosed principal wasn't Thomas Holt, but Waterside, Pennsylvania, that new company he'd formed. There was a bunch of stuff pointing to Waterside, Pennsylvania being its own separate entity. Like, it was Waterside, Pennsylvania that was making the payments to Curnow Hill, and they were managing all the financial stuff for the Selene, taking in the money it was making from hauling cargo. They even got their own financing to charter ships and paid Waterside, New York for their services as a broker.
Okay, so it sounds like they were genuinely running their own business operations.
Exactly. And the timing of when Waterside, Pennsylvania was incorporated, that was a big deal too, remember?
Right before the charter agreement.
Yeah, and that suggested that they were set up to actually do business, not just as a way to avoid liability after the fact.
That makes sense. So creating the company before the deal really helps their case. It doesn't look like they were just trying to hide behind a corporate veil.
Exactly. The court was basically saying that just incorporating a company to limit your personal risk, that's perfectly legal. It's done all the time.
Right.
It doesn't automatically mean the company is just your puppet.
Makes sense. So they're saying there needs to be more than just, oh, you own the company to pierce that corporate veil.
Right. There has to be evidence of something shady going on, or that the company is just like an extension of you personally, not a real separate thing.
Okay, so even though Holt owned Waterside, Pennsylvania, and it was his new company, that wasn't enough to say it was basically just him doing business under a different name.
Right. The court saw Waterside, Pennsylvania as a legitimate company doing its own thing, even though Holt owned it.
Okay, I got it. So what about those other companies, Holt Hauling and Holt Marine? Why did the court say they weren't responsible for the Selene's debts?
Well, there just wasn't any evidence linking those companies to that specific charter deal. They weren't involved in the negotiations, they didn't benefit from it, and there was no sign that they got any kind of unfair advantage from those missed payments.
Okay.
They were separate companies and they weren't part of this particular deal, so the court said, nope, they're not liable.
Makes sense. So this case, Curnow Hill v. Holt, it really highlights some key principles about corporate liability. What are some takeaways our listeners, especially those future lawyers out there, should remember?
There are actually a bunch of really important points here. First, that timing we talked about when a company is formed and when they do business, that matters a lot. Like Holt Incorporated in Waterside, Pennsylvania before the charter agreement, that helped their case. Second, keeping your personal stuff and your company stuff separate, that's huge.
Right.
Waterside, Pennsylvania having their own bank accounts, doing their own business, that helped convince the court that they were legit. Third, to pierce that corporate veil, it's not easy. You can't just say, oh, they own the company. You need real proof of something wrong, like fraud, or that the company is just a shell, a total extension of the owner, not a real business.
Right. So it's not impossible to hold individuals responsible, but it's definitely not a slam dunk.
Right. And fourth, this case shows that the courts generally respect the idea of a corporation as a way to limit liability. They're not going to just ignore that unless there's clear abuse going on. And finally, I'd say, for those future lawyers out there, this case highlights how important it is to document everything properly when setting up a company and to make sure the company operates as a separate entity. That's key to protecting the owners from personal liability.
That's a really good point. Yeah. So basically, our deep dive into Curnow Hill v. Holt shows that the corporate veil, in maritime law anyway, it does offer some pretty strong protection for business owners.
It does.
But it's not foolproof, especially if there's evidence of fraud or that the company's being misused, like we talked about.
Exactly. It's all about balance. The law wants to protect business owners and encourage people to start companies, but it also wants to make sure that corporate structure isn't being abused.
Right. It's finding that sweet spot between protecting businesses and holding people accountable.
Right.
It really makes you think, huh?
It does.
This whole idea of finding that balance, making sure there were protections, but also making sure things are fair. So, given what we've learned from this case, what kind of safeguards do you think are most important for new businesses to put in place? Like, how can they best protect themselves and make sure they're doing everything by the book?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something anyone starting a business should really think about carefully. It's definitely something to consider even after we're done here today.
Yeah, I think Curnow Hill v. Holt is a great starting point for anyone who wants to learn more about this whole area of corporate liability.
It is. It's a really foundational case, and it can help you understand how these concepts apply in different legal situations.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for walking us through all this. It's been really insightful.
My pleasure. Always happy to dive into these fascinating cases.
Yeah, it's been a great deep dive.
It has.
Until next time.
See ya.